Hey, Jeffrey Craner here. Do you love this show and want to help us keep making it? Check out our membership program now on Patreon. Our members get awesome, exclusive rewards like director's notes for every episode, exclusive bonus tracks from our live show recordings, entire bonus episodes, and maybe, if you're really interested, a brand new character named after you on Welcome to Night Vale. Plus, we'll be posting surprise rewards that I can't tell you about just yet because it would ruin the surprise. Sound appealing? I know it does. Go to welcometonightvale.com and click on membership to sign up. And hey, thanks in advance.
Is this the first time you've heard me say this? Are you sure? Welcome to Night Vale. Okay, I'm starting again. As many of you certainly noticed, we are having a problem of timeline divergence here in Night Vale. Events are happening over and over, and each instance is different than the last. Earl Harlan, sous chef at Tourniquet, was preparing a fresh salad with wood glue vinaigrette and decided to do a spinach base, but then he was preparing a fresh salad with wood glue vinaigrette and decided on a romaine base. The same event, twice, with drastically different outcomes. Also, there was that tragic story from the Night Vale Daily Journal about that plane that crashed at Night Vale International Airport, but when we looked at the paper again, it was a really boring story about a plane that landed safely with no unusual incidents. It was a stunning tragedy and a totally mundane event simultaneously, and it is unclear which of those really happened. My husband, Carlos, whose long, perfect hair was looking unusually perfect, does not know what is causing these fracturing timelines. He has been busy in his lab saying that he is working on an incredibly important project related to this, and he needs to see it through. Meanwhile, a mysterious figure in a black satin mask stood on top of the former Flaky O's factory, watching this chaos unfold. Who is this figure? And what do they want? More soon. Or maybe just this again, but with a slightly different wording. We'll see. And now, traffic. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and so I decided to take both. Be one traveler, I split myself good by a process I barely understood. A third me slithered neath the undergrowth. Through the trees I could see myself walk, merely me, but I started to hate him. For if I am real, then he is the mock. We turned as one. As one began to talk, each quoting the other verbatim. I shall be asking and asking why. Two iterations of myself hence. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took them both, and many others beside. It turned out there never was a difference. This has been traffic. This splitting of timelines in town has only gotten worse, and it seems that it is connected to the mysterious figure in a black satin mask. Wherever they go, things happen, and also happen differently, and also happen even differently than that. When the masked figure visited the library and asked for a copy of The Artist's Husband, that hit novel about an artist and a time traveler who get married, the librarians began keening and banging on their cages, but also they got very quiet. Several librarians escaped, but also they didn't escape. And several bystanders were mauled by those loose librarians, but also they were fine and went back to their homes saying things like, "Wow, uneventful day today." And "Nothing exciting has ever happened to me and I've never been injured." When the masked figure stopped at the Ralphs, weekday shift manager Charlie Bear accidentally spilled a box of cereal in aisle 3. Kellogg's cereal, of course, since no other cereal is allowed in town anymore. But at the same time, Charlie spilled Kellogg's cereal all over aisle 5, which is the cleaning supplies aisle. He wasn't sure how that even happened, but it did. And at that exact moment, the Ralphs wasn't a Ralphs, but instead, a Vons. Now, this is truly getting baffling. How do I report on a story that is many different stories at once, all contradicting each other? And just who is this mysterious figure in the black satin mask? Further updates when more is known and, possibly simultaneously, not known. And now the community calendar. Monday is pizza night at the Last Bank of Nightvale. Come by for this fun community event that features free pizza, a DJ, and paperwork that looks like a softball sign-up sheet, but actually commits you to a predatory loan. Meanwhile, Monday is karaoke night at the Last Bank of Nightvale. Come and join our employees in song. Unfortunately, we planned this slightly last minute, and so the only CD we could find was a collection of nature sounds. So do your best to sing along to such hot numbers as Rustling Leaves No. 5, Miscellaneous Beach Noise, and 2 Hours of Burbling Brook. Then, Monday is Art Gallery Night at the Last Bank of Nightvale. Do you make art? Why? Just what are you trying to prove? Do you think you're better than us? Yeah, come try to justify yourself this Monday night at the Last Bank of Nightvale. And finally, Monday is the annual kids fundraising dinner at the Last Bank of Nightvale, catered by Nightvale's own Earl Harlan. Join this fun and delicious celebration as we raise money for kids, which we will then give to the kids. No strings attached. I wonder what they'll spend it on. Something was off about this community calendar, but I can't put my finger on what. I mean, looking back, it seems normal. Kind of a light week. Only one event. Monday night at the Last Bank of Nightvale is a garage sale. They have all sorts of weird stuff people have put in safety deposit boxes. And it feels like a waste leaving them sitting there. Come and make an offer. So that's normal. Not sure what it was. Carlos has reached out to me with a concern. He said he is busy at work on this problem, but given that events have been turning out with wildly different outcomes, how will we know which outcome is true? This day will end however it ends, he said. But how will we know the ending we experience is real? What if resolving this crisis is merely another splitting possibility, and at the same time, there's an us still dealing with the crisis? And that is a very real concern. I guess I can only say that it's a gut thing. I mean, I feel like when this is resolved, we'll know the real series of events. We'll just know them, you know? Because they'll be the ones that actually happened. Carlos tells me that gut feelings aren't scientific, but I said, well, what are guts made out of? Science, right? And he had to concede that point. Then I told him his short cropped hair looked more perfect than usual. And he blushed. Still, I must keep Carlos's concern in mind as this day wraps up. I'll need to pay attention and make sure that what is happening is the only version of that event, and there aren't other stray versions sprawling out their own timelines somewhere else. And now a word from our sponsors. Today's sponsor is... okay. They just sent a videotape with the labels torn off of it. I guess I'll watch it and describe what I'm seeing. It's a black and white shot of a kitchen. A man is making a sandwich. It's a falafel sandwich with cucumbers and tomatoes, and he eats the sandwich, smiles at the camera, and leaves the room. Now there's a big red text saying, there must be another way. Now we're back at the kitchen, and the man is making a sandwich. He seems confused, as though he remembers having just done this. In his confusion, as he's cutting the tomatoes, the knife slips, and oh my god, oh, he's screaming. But now that same text, there must be another way, and the man is back making the sandwich, and he's still screaming, but he realizes his hand is intact. And he goes to the phone to make a call, and he slips and bangs his head on the counter, and he falls out of frame. And the text says again, there must be another way. And the man is back, and he's pale and shaking, and he's feeling his head. And he can't believe it's not broken open, and he runs for the door and out into the yard, and the camera follows him. And it's not clear who is filming, and there is an earthquake, and a crevasse opens up in his lawn, and he disappears into it. And again, there must be another way, and he is back in the kitchen, and he's weeping. How long is this? Okay. It looks like this tape is at least 3 hours long, so I'll watch the rest of it later and kind of summarize. Maybe then we'll figure out who is even sponsoring this thing. The Diverging Timelines disaster is only worsening, and Night Vale, of course, has no mayor to deal with the issue. Except that sometimes we do have a mayor, and sometimes it's Dana Cardinal. And sometimes it's Pamela Winchell, and sometimes it's a tall obsidian statue with wings and 1,000 faces, and it's not clear which of these timelines are real. The sheriff tried to restore order, saying, listen, no matter what timeline you find yourself in, just maintain a calm disposition, lie face down wherever you are, and wait for a secret police officer to collect you. But the problem is that anyone following these directions finds that they have simultaneously not followed those directions. And so the problem doesn't seem possible to resolve. Meanwhile, the worst of the effects are following the figure in the black satin mask, although nothing more has been learned as to who they are or what their role in all this might be. And so, listeners, the masked figure. They've walked into the station, and they're standing on the other side of the control room glass. They are reaching up now and pulling off the mask. Oh my god, it's... Hold on, I need to deal with this. Let's go to the weather.
Blue sky bottle. Wish I could be just like you. Escape the motherfuckers too. I wish that I could be just like you.
Listeners, I can't believe it. The masked figure all this time was Daily Journal editor Leanne Hart. Leanne shattered the control booth glass, leaped forward, and thrust a well-polished hatchet to my face, pressing the sharpened blade against my cheek. Hatchets are tools common among print news professionals for threatening internet-based publications, so I couldn't understand why I was her target. I said, Leanne, I'm a radio host, not a news blogger. I'm not your enemy. Oh, I know you're not, Cecil, Leanne said. I'm not threatening you. I'm just showing you the new hatchet I bought. It's palladium. Cost me a fortune. Feel that. So nice. The metal stays cool and soft, but it cuts through bone like a copy editor through adverbs. And then we both laughed. I said, this is an extremely funny joke that only us true journalists would understand. The word extremely was unnecessary there, Cecil, Leanne growled, pressing the blade tighter to my face. That is a nice hatchet, Leanne, I said. But how did you afford it? There's no money in media these days unless you have a true crime podcast. Leanne smiled. Wait, did you start a true crime podcast? I asked. Because that would be a great idea, to murder a bunch of people and then do a podcast about it. Oh, I have something even better, Cecil, she said. I have time. Leanne said she time traveled over and over throughout each day, and then selling newspapers across hundreds of concurrent timelines. She increased the number of days she could sell papers, but not the amount of time or labor involved. She made millions. She tried to stay out of the stories, not wanting to change the arc of our future, but no matter how objective she remained, the repeated day was always different. So she gave up trying to stay disinterested and began to actually influence each event. There was a car chase on Route 800 last Tuesday. In one version, the sheriff's secret police stopped the subject without violence and then took him to jail with lots of violence. In another version, the suspect got away by fleeing on foot out into the scrublands. And in another version, Leanne Hart thwarted the suspect from ever stealing the car in the first place, thus saving police from endangering themselves and others, and protecting the car's owner from an awful day, followed by months of arguing with an insurance company. But Leanne found that this third version didn't sell papers, because there was no story. What proved most lucrative was an ongoing fear amongst the readers needing to know how this horrible crime would be resolved. Weeks of a fugitive on the loose led to weeks of great sales, as the city, filled with angst, fought for more police protection and formed theories about who the criminal mastermind was. "Oh yeah, I remember this story now," I told Leanne. "We never caught the guy, did we?" "Oh, we did," Leanne said. "I finagled a timeline where he was captured, but only because the story stopped selling papers. I needed something more exciting, so then I convinced this psychopath who had been murdering stray animals to instead poison the town water supply. And we all died. That was a bad one. No one bought a single paper." "Leanne, you can't do this. You can't keep traveling through time and manipulating our fates to sell papers," I said. "It's unethical, immoral even, to make money by ruining lives." And then she said I must hate capitalism and called me a socialist, and I didn't have a comeback. "I'm giving up the time travel thing anyway," she said. "Also, I promise to stop creating dangerous news stories to sell papers." I told her it must have been a tough but fulfilling journey through her own soul to elevate compassion for others above personal gain. I told Leanne I was proud of her decision. And she said negative news stories didn't really sell anyway. You know, all of her time traveling, she had cultivated a large sample size of sales data showing sustained emotional arguments based around raw fear were the best approach. And the Daily Journal from this point forward would be exclusively op-ed. And with a gleam in her eye, Leanne showed me tomorrow's front page headline: "Public schools should not give pornography to our kids." "Oh, they're handing out pornography in school?" I gasped. "I don't know," she said. "The point is that they should not be doing that, whether they are or not. We're going to sell a bunch of papers. This will be a story for weeks." And I agreed. It was a good idea to sell papers with only half-informed opinions about non-existent issues. I mean, it saves on time spent researching and reporting, and more importantly, no water will be poisoned, no cars will be stolen. Irrational headlines will initiate helpful discussions and friendly debate with absolutely no harm done. Leanne left the office and told me I could report her story, but only on embargo until the Daily Journal scooped it. So that's why it's taken me a week to tell you this. Or at least, I think it's been a week. You know, I want to make sure this was how it actually turned out. I need to begin again. Is this the first time you've heard me say this? Are you sure? Welcome to Night Vale.
Welcome to Night Vale is a production of Night Vale Presents. It is written by Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Craner and produced by Disparition. The voice of Night Vale is Cecil Baldwin. Original music by Disparition. All of it can be found at disparition.info or at disparition.bandcamp.com. This episode's weather was Escape Artist by Caged Animals from their new album, also called Escape Artist. Check it out at cagedanimals.bandcamp.com. Comments, questions, email us at info@welcometonightvale.com or follow us on Twitter at Night Vale Radio. Or try and fail once again to really get into this mindfulness meditation stuff. Check out welcometonightvale.com for more information on this show and our 2018-2019 world tour to over 40 cities. Today's proverb: true change starts with the person in the mirror. He's standing far behind you, barely visible. He's really going to change things.
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.
From PRX.